Another Trump administration decision that had people concerned last summer was their intention to scrap the Clean Power Plan. That's the Obama-era policy to reduce carbon dioxide emissions from electrical power generation, mostly existing coal plants, by 32% by 2030, below 2005 levels. But researchers at Carnegie Mellon University found that the Clean Power Plan might actually be less important than we thought. They looked at emissions data from the government's 2017 annual energy outlook and found that the U.S. can still meet or maybe even beat its emissions reduction targets without the Clean Power Plan. How? I asked Paul Fischbeck, a professor in engineering and public policy and social and decision sciences.
Well, it turns out that the emissions from power generation has decreased considerably over the last 5-8 years. From 2.7 billion tons down to an estimated 1.9 billion tons. So that's a very significant decrease. A major factor in this reduction is the low price of natural gas and the natural market forces that allow natural gas to replace some of the coal generation.
So natural gas is cheap now, and so that's the preferred energy source over coal because of the market. But what if prices increase or even stay the same?
There are a lot of moving parts here. So one is, what happens to the economy? If the economy really starts to boom, electric demand may in fact go up. Electricity demand will in fact go up, which could in fact lead to higher prices for natural gas, which then in fact could make coal more competitive again. So the Clean Power Plan, its goal was to reduce carbon emissions from generation, and they had a multi-pronged approach to do that. So they were encouraging the use of renewables, and they were discouraging the use of coal. The Trump administration has come in and basically stopped that program. And so what's happening now is due to just market forces. And so what you're seeing is, with the low price of natural gas, it is replacing coal, but not only coal, other sources as well. Nuclear power has a very hard time competing at this very low natural gas price. If the prices were to go up for natural gas, then these other generation technologies could in fact become, once again, viable in the marketplace.
But if I'm understanding your study correctly, natural gas could help us get to these targets that we want to get to in the short term, but not necessarily in the long term.
Well, based on our study, we've already achieved the 2025 goal for carbon emissions from power generation today already. So we're 8 years ahead of where we wanted to be with the Clean Power Plan. That's a very significant sort of change in the playing field. What about 2030? The goals that the Clean Power Plan had set for 2030, can those be achieved without any other interventions? Or can they be achieved? How can they be achieved if the price of natural gas goes up? And these are the questions, the policy questions, that we are researching now.
During the Obama administration, natural gas was called a bridge fuel to lower emissions and to get a cleaner energy scenario that would include eventually more renewable energy, wind and solar. Natural gas is still a fossil fuel. It has its own greenhouse gas issues, methane, which is released when it's extracted. Are you suggesting we should rely on natural gas in the long term?
Well, once again, making forecasts into the future is always very difficult. And the questions are, 10, 15, 20 years from now, what is the technology for generating electricity going to be? If you back up 10 years, no one had forecast this revolution of natural gas prices. And so to go forward 10 years, there could be equivalent or even more significant technological breakthroughs that would allow us to do things in a very different way. So there are a whole range of new technologies, for instance, small modular reactors, SMRs, which are nuclear power plants that are much smaller and more efficient and potentially safer, that could be distributed in a variety of different places. If that technology, which is now just beginning, were to really meet its stride, it could replace lots and lots of generation. Likewise, the price for renewables is also coming down. And so it could very well be that renewables now become more competitive. And if we get a battery technology breakthrough, which allows us to store that renewable electricity, then it's a game changer.
One of the reasons that renewable energy has become more affordable is because of tax credits. if the federal government or the EPA isn't mandating a switch or some kind of conversion or incentive for more renewable energy with regulation like the Clean Power Plan, how else might that be accomplished? Are market forces enough?
Well, this is always the big complaint between the two sides. If the government is providing subsidies for renewables, they're tipping the balance of the in the marketplace towards one side. Is that a good idea? It has both pluses and minuses. When you start to play with the market, you can have, and you often do have, unintended consequences. One of the problems that's happened is with these tax credits, they tend to come and go based on year to year, and it's very hard for renewable generators to make long-term plans. A wind farm has to be built by December 31st or it loses its tax credit. And it may not reappear in the next year or the year after. So how do you start to account for making business decisions when you have this politically adjustable tax credits that are occurring? So if you can rely more on the marketplace, it is perhaps more predictable. And the opportunities for taking advantage and making long-term forecasts and so on, that value can be extracted from the process.
But it sounds like, though, if gas prices stay low, that why wouldn't you just continue to rely on natural gas?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the case. Natural gas has surpassed coal now for generation. Natural gas has about half the carbon emissions that coal does. And we're seeing this in Pennsylvania, where they're taking power plants that used to burn coal, and they're being converted to burn natural gas. This trend will continue if the natural gas prices stay low. But here's another government factor that could, in fact, creep in. What if we start to sell our natural gas overseas? We start to export it. Well, that's going to make the price of natural gas in Japan and Europe go down, but the price of natural gas in the United States would go up. What would the impact of that be on the market? And that's a big, big factor that's pending in the future.
I would imagine that a lot of environmentalists would look at your study and think, oh, this is dangerous. This sounds to me like we don't need to do anything.
Well, that's not what we're saying. We're saying is that we have to consider the entire system that includes the marketplace and regulation and subsidies and how those all interact with each other. The lower prices of natural gas, in part to fracking, has reshuffled the deck as to what options are available in the future for us to attain various carbon emission goals. And having more options allows you to perhaps make better decisions. More options is good, not bad.
Thank you so much for talking with me.
My pleasure.
Paul Fischbeck is a professor in engineering and public policy at Carnegie Mellon University. The CMU study was published in Environmental Science and Technology, and there's a link at AlleghenyFront.org. This is the Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.